The Truth News Network. Russians, Ukrainians, Germans, Taliban, ISIS. And then there's the Congress. You can't tell your players without a scorecard. Here's the political chalk talk from the coach, Dan Newman.
Yes, I've got the scorecard. I'm keeping score. And I'll tell you what the score is a little bit later. Hello, everyone, and welcome. I'm Dan Newman. Today, I'm speaking to my Democrat brothers and sisters specifically. The rest of you, don't listen in. No, I'm joking. I want you to listen in. But this is especially to my Democrat brothers and sisters. And let me tell you this. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a registered as other in my state because you cannot register to vote as an independent in Louisiana. But I am a politically conservative independent. That said, today I'm making a few points addressed primarily to the thousands of my friends and relatives who are Democrats. Let me say this. We have more than 10, maybe 20,000 Democrats who call themselves partners of Truth News Network. I in no way am today demeaning the process of political parties in the U.S., but I echo the sentiments of the second president of the United States, that would be Thomas Jefferson, when he said this, both of our political parties, at least the honest portions of them, agree conscientiously in the same object, the public good, but they differ essentially in what they deem that means of promoting that good. One side believes it best done by one composition of the governing powers, the other by a different one. One fears most the ignorance of the people, the other selfishness of rulers independent of them. Which is right, time and experience will prove. Well, here we are more than 200 years later, folks, and we still haven't proven which is better. We fight about that almost daily. It's safe to say that Jefferson was not a fan of political parties. There were two major parties just as now. It's uncanny that Jefferson's America experienced the same or similar angst with political parties as do we. However, just as did Jefferson in his day, we too need to find ways to mitigate the damages perpetrated by political parties to our America today. And attempting that is proving to be just as tricky as it was for Jefferson and company back then. I'm beginning to feel the same way Jefferson must have felt when he said this as a P.S. If I could not go to heaven but with a party, I would not go there at all. He was rather negative about political parties. So, who are the villains? I'm certain political parties themselves are not the entities with which Jefferson had his beef, and the same holds true today. The methods used by political parties and the reasoning that initiates their operating tactics are the aggravating elements of political parties. After all, their very existence is to coordinate efforts and garner resources sufficient to work to destroy their party counterparts continually. There's nothing in party operations that can be considered peaceful while diligent methodology. There is nothing peaceful about Democrats versus Republicans, and vice versa. So who are the villains in politics? Today, there are several different parties on the nation's political landscape, but the main two are obvious, and we just mentioned them, Democrat and Republican parties. Let's chat a bit about our political parties. First, the GOP. I am by no means a Republican hack. I have today, and also in the past, many issues with the Republican Party. Most of those things the GOP has done that rub me wrong are simply things that, when put in the perspective held by most Americans, are useless attempts to give Republicans an advantage of some sort regarding some specific political issue. And most of those end up being useless at worst and ineffective at best. But what they do in almost every circumstance is get people like me hacked off. I can't stand all of the political back and forth between parties about little things that, in the big scheme of America and life here, mean absolutely nothing or very little. Take, for instance, the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Now, no doubt Bill Clinton made some horrible choices in his personal life. No doubt some of those personal choices spilled over into his public life, particularly in the Oval Office. I understand that everyone has the explicit right to feel he should have been removed from office, but in my mind, as bad as were those improprieties with that intern that occurred in the White House, my question was then and still is, were those impeachable offenses? So, here come the Republicans. They didn't care about Hillary Clinton as Bill Clinton's wife and how horrible it was her finding out about her husband's dalliance with Monica Lewinsky in a news report. Nobody called her. Nobody spoke to her about it. She heard about it in the news. They didn't care that the President of the United States had taken advantage of a 20-something-year-old woman. All they cared about was that President Clinton's wrongdoing justified their desire to run him out of the White House. Using that information alone, they launched a multi-year impeachment debacle that resulted in nothing but embarrassment for the president and for the Republican Party. Then House Speaker Newt Gingrich spearheaded the Clinton impeachment. His doing so along with the House impeachment set the Republican Party back for quite a while. All that resulted is that Bill Clinton is today, and probably always will be, considered one of America's most accomplished modern presidents. As bad as that was, he got a whole lot of good done for the nation. And then there's George W. Bush. We'll call him W. Republicans were ecstatic after the Clinton debacle to see one of their own back in the White House. W. was able to take advantage of some really good economics and international circumstances that he had inherited from Bill Clinton. But he had that Middle East thing, you know, Iraq, eating at him from day one of his inauguration. His father, who had tangled first with Saddam Hussein, felt his job there had been left undone. The World Trade Center bombing took us right back into war with Iraq that many say should have never happened. Those weapons of mass destruction that W. used as fuel to start that war were never uncovered. Thousands of young men and women paid the price for that uncertain war with their lives. Many think that Bush 43 did that only to finish the feud between Hussein and Bush 41, his dad. We probably will never know the answer for certain. W. missed some great opportunities for doing some extraordinary things for the U.S. during his 8 years. He would have been the perfect president to initiate actions to fix the southern border illegal problems, the crisis that we're still facing today. I felt certain he could have mastered an effective immigration overhaul that would have repaired the border issues while simultaneously closing loopholes in other areas of immigration. He had a great personal and professional relationship with the leaders in Mexico. It would have been a natural thing for him to do. He neglected to instigate any real immigration reform, even with that good stuff going for him. Then there was Social Security. Though he gave it a valiant effort, Bush 43 gave up his proposed reform of Social Security to protect its longevity. I attended a Social Security reform he conducted here in Louisiana, in which he promoted a partial conversion of the system to privatization that would have given participants options for the investment of at least the money they had contributed into the system. He, of course, received major Democrat pushback for the idea, and he simply walked away from it. Then, in his second term, it was as if he walked away from his campaign promises that he made. Like, he just gave up. Spending, government spending, went through the roof. He let Democrats run roughshod over budgets while deficits and U.S. debt soared. It seemed the Iraq War just wore him out, and he just gave it up. So step onto the stage, Mr. Romney, Mitt Romney. Now, this is back in 2008. I thought Mitt had a decent shot at turning the White House back to red. He fought hard for a while, but at the very end of his campaign, when polls showed that he had cut dramatically into Obama's standing with Americans to a level many thought would not happen before, he seemed just to quit. It appeared to many, including me, that he at some point decided, hey, I don't want to take on the responsibility of running a nation. I didn't realize it would be this difficult. The last 45 days or so of his campaign proved that to be true. And Obama fairly easily won his second term. Today's GOP is looking more and more like a status quo party. Until this impeachment attack on the president, Republicans played into the sense that all they wanted to do was make no waves, to be the party of, can't we just all get along? Impeachment brought the GOP back to attention. Thank God for that. Not so much for impeachment, but that the GOP apparently have awakened. Impeachment in the wake of the tremendous Trump accomplishments in his first term, even with scant support, opened their eyes. Little by little, we've watched as more Republicans have jumped aboard the Trump train. As a party, they are as united as I can remember since the Twin Towers toppled. Republicans seem more engaged now, more challenged, and more resolute to prove the Trump agenda is real, it's productive, and that it's all-inclusive. And here's the shocker. None of it seems politically motivated, but it's driven by one thing and one thing only. Mr. Trump, when he campaigned for the presidency, made promises to the American people, and he has kept those through today. So we're going to take a break for a moment. That's kind of the wrap-up of the Republican side and some of the problems I have in the past and currently with the Republican Party. But, let's circle the bullseye on our target. We're going to look at the Democrats next. You don't want to miss it. Sit tight. Back in a moment at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Real truth, real news, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Long live the courageous.
May God bless and keep you always. May you always
the tenacious.
May you always do for others.
The ones who push forward
do for you.
And give back.
To the stars. Climb on every rung. May you stay.
Long live the greater good.
May you stay.
The helping hand. Those who fall and get back up. And long live the truck with the strength to overcome. The will to outwork. And the commitment to outlast them all. Ram, proven to last.
The truth as only he can tell it. Dan Newman, TNN.
TruthNewsNet.org.
And isn't truth everything that we're all reaching out for every day to try to get our arms around? Well, this is where I part ways today with Democrats. We have very little or nothing in common anymore. When Trump beat Hillary, it was on, folks. And the war instigated by Democrats against President Trump is one of historic proportions. And in starting and perpetuating this war, Democrats are every day now giving Americans new clues for proving that the Democrats have simply lost touch with average Americans like you and me. What is most troubling and what confirms that Democrats have lost it is their immediate and total dismissals of facts regarding Mr. Trump. Add to that their consistent expressions of anger and hatred for first Mr. Trump, then for every American who supports him. That includes me, and it includes many of you. And more Americans are leaving, literally walking away from the Democrat Party. It appears the Democrat leadership and most Democrats have abandoned most or all reasoning. Think about this. They're impeaching Donald Trump amid many amazing accomplishments handed to Americans by this Trump administration, not by the Obama administration, no carryover stuff, all brand new stuff that was initiated and implemented by Donald Trump since he's been president, like the lowest unemployment in decades, more Americans employed than ever before in the United States, more jobs now available than there are Americans to fill them. More Americans are going to work, and there are more jobs that can't be filled. Record federal revenue, even with the massive tax cuts initiated by President Trump, the lowest income tax rates in a generation, the repatriation of hundreds of billions of dollars in corporate income with a Trump deal that has put billions into new jobs, new benefits, and expansions back here in the United States. We now have two of the most significant trade agreements in U.S. history. They're in place. They're signed, folks. One with China and the USMCA. That's the treaty with Canada and Mexico. And everybody said, you'll never get it done. Closer to home to a lot of Americans, today there are 6 million fewer U.S. citizens, Americans, on government assistance, not because they've been kicked off, but because they now have jobs and they don't need that assistance any longer. We could go on and on and on listing accomplishments that have happened in this Trump administration, but we're going to stop here for the sake of time. The investigative impeachment process has been a charade. It's been a clown show, you know that. Orchestrated by Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, and Adam Schiff, it has each day exposed Democrat hatred and subsequent losses of reason. It's all over the American marketplace. Oh, and by the way, American marketplace, the Dow closed over 29,000. 29,000. Never in history has it even been close to that. Americans are learning the truth of the Democrat Party. The Democrats want only to control the lives of Americans. All Americans. After a faux House investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment, and after the stall by Speaker Pelosi for 3 weeks to refer those articles to the Senate, she finally did while simultaneously finding new evidence with which to implicate the president in something else. Here's the synopsis of this big-time blockbuster evidence as presented by the Associated Press. They said this: House Democrats have released a trove of documents they obtained from Lev Parnas, a close associate of President Donald Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, including a handwritten note that mentions asking Ukraine's president to investigate the Biden case. The documents obtained as part of the impeachment investigation show Parnas communicating with Giuliani before the removal of Marie Yovanovitch, who was the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. A man named Robert F. Hyde disparaged Yovanovitch in messages to Parnas and gave him updates on her location and cell phone use, raising questions about possible surveillance. Ooh, government surveillance. That's what's going on. Of course, they totally denied there was any surveillance of the Trump campaign. Remember that. But now, since they've been exposed there, they're basically wanting to say, well, we got caught doing it, so we're going to blame you for doing the same thing. And there's no evidence that there was any surveillance at all of Yovanovitch. Parnas was in frequent communication with Giuliani and with Ukrainian officials, the messages show. He appeared to be pushing unsubstantiated allegations that Democrat Joe Biden and his son Hunter were somehow engaged in corruption in Ukraine. Among the documents is a screenshot of a previously undisclosed letter from Giuliani to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, dated May 10th of 2019, which was before Zelensky took office. In the letter, Giuliani requests a meeting with Zelensky as personal counsel to President Trump and with his knowledge and consent. In the letter, Giuliani said he would be accompanied at the meeting by Victoria Tensing, a Washington attorney and Trump ally. So that was the Associated Press. The notes were scratched by hand, folks, on a Ritz-Carlton notepad paper and are barely legible. I've looked at them. They're almost impossible to read. Additionally, the wrongdoing alleged is at best secondhand and provides no evidence that the president knew any of the conversations or if he even knows those included in the comments. This is impeachable, folks. Certainly, no president can get by without being impeached for the allegations that he did something like that. One important note was left out of the plethora of stories about this blockbuster expose. You're going to love this. Parnas is this guy that they're quoting as giving this evidence. Parnas and his business partner, Igor Fruman, both U.S. citizens who immigrated from the former Soviet bloc, were indicted last year on charges of, guess what? Conspiracy, making false statements, and falsification of records. I'm sorry I'm laughing, but this is ridiculous. You can't make this up. And Democrats make no apology for their ignoble allegations of this ridiculous evidence that lacks any remnant of the possibility of holding any truth. Oh my gosh, keep in mind that Americans have never seen any piece of the mountains of evidence held by Representative Adam Schiff. You remember all those things that he had. It's uncontroverted, he said. It's absolute. According to Schiff, and confirmed by other Democrat House members, they confirmed that Mr. Trump colluded with Vladimir Putin and other Russians to steal the 2016 election for 3 years now. That's what they've claimed. Schiff is going to be in the Senate on behalf of the House trying in a trial, an impeachment trial, the President of the United States. Why didn't Schiff just reveal the Trump treasonous documents that he has claimed for more than 2 years exist and end this impeachment debacle and just kick Donald Trump out of the White House? Well, to my brothers and sisters, my Democrat friends that hold on to Democrat blue, I'm sad to be an observer of the fall into oblivion by your party. I'm really not sad the party's falling, but I'm sad, very sad, honestly, that you're a part of this. Fueled by a fawning media that very obviously they take their marching orders from Democrat Party leaders. They fail to convince Americans of Mr. Trump's wrongdoing. Yeah, they pick off a few here and there. But while they're doing that, their hatred for all things Trump and all Trump supporters is out there now for all to see. And those that were on the fence, we call them independents. They're coming across to support President Trump in droves. Democrats, as of today, summarily reject that Americans wanted and still want a president who can deliver to Americans, for the first time in 10 years, accomplishments that each are 100% for middle Americans and not just for elites that are mostly Democrats. And Trump has accomplished what he promised to accomplish while campaigning. There are reasons why Mr. Trump won Americans' votes in 2,500 counties in 2016, when Hillary won votes in just 500 counties. Yep, those 500 counties happen to be in California, New York, Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, Maryland, Washington, D.C. That election and its results are the reason for the establishment of the Electoral College by our forefathers. Democrats refuse to accept that as viable. For my Democrat brothers and sisters, only one thing ahead is certain, at least in my projections for 2020. Donald Trump will not only win in a margin far wider than did Obama or Bill Clinton in their elections as president, Republicans will win a larger margin in the Senate, and Republicans will gain once more the majority in the House of Representatives. Why is all this going to happen? Americans have had it with the constant untruths and gross misrepresentations made and given to Americans by Democrats and other leftists. And Americans, while glorying in their larger net paychecks and lower taxes and new jobs, along with skyrocketing investment and retirement accounts that withered away under Obama, are not so stupid as to snatch all the actions put in place by Mr. Trump and go back to 2016 financially. Remember the Clinton pundit? It's the economy, stupid. That's why Americans pull specific levers in the voting booth. Americans are smart, and most Americans understand today that totalitarianism is unwanted here. Make no mistake, totalitarianism is what leftists are looking for the United States. Americans are more committed than ever to a market of free ideas. Those Americans will gladly continue to support Mr. Trump and will re-elect him in November. Kind of went out on a limb today, didn't I? Well, now you know my heart if you didn't before. Thank you so much for being here. Looking ahead now, we've got impeachment all week next week, pretty sure anyway. And I don't know if you understand this or not, but it's an all-day, everyday kind of thing. So here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, We'll have our Saturday bullet points here. On Sunday, we'll get back together and we'll forecast what we will know by Sunday, what's going to happen in impeachment in the Senate next week. And then every day next week, those hearings are going to last all day long until 8 o'clock every evening. I know you're not going to be able to follow it all. None of us will. But here's what I'm going to do. Every morning, starting Tuesday morning, the beginning of our story will be a synopsis, an impeachment synopsis, of the specifics of what happened the previous day. So, you never want to miss a minute, never want to miss a day here at Truth News Network. I'll see you tomorrow. And thanks for coming every day to Truth News Network. TruthNewsNet.org.
The truth. Straight. No chaser. TNN. The Truth News Network.